I'm Allison, and I am a food addict, a compulsive overeater, and a bulimic. And I say I'm bulimic. It's been 40 something years, but I want to be sure that anybody that is bulimic knows that it's possible to be in recovery from it. And I'm happy to share that because I did it from age 14 to 26 before it had a name, before the therapist knew what to call it, or at least they didn't tell it to me when I went to see therapists. And the last 3 years of those 12 years did I know that other people did it, and it was something out there. So my eating problems started when I was 13. But prior to that, I didn't have any that I can remember any issues with food or with my body. My body being acceptable or not. And something was said to me by my mom, relayed through from my dad to, through my mom about my body. And I immediately went on a diet. I didn't need to, and went on a very strict diet for about 60 hours. And the second, and I went off of that and just started cramming food in my mouth and did gain weight. And then when I was 14, figured out if I could make myself throw up after I overate, then I would hopefully not gain more weight. And it became an addiction in of its own, which is a long, long story. But one of the things that I've been thinking about lately is the fact that this eating disorder, the feelings about my body, the feelings about myself and my worth that were so awful, permeated my life. You know, when I got to OA, I had been in OA a little bit when in the 70s when I was in my early 20s, but when I was able to put the bulimia down around the day I turned 26, and that's a long story of its own, but I was able to stop the bulimia, and just became a plain old compulsive overeater, gaining lots of weight, eating all the time. And I remembered OA, and I went back to OA thinking maybe it will work for me now because I'm just a plain compulsive overeater. And it did. And that was at the heyday of OA, or it was one of its heydays. I hope it's in a heyday now because we know so much more about what the disease is and what the recovery process is. But at the time, it was booming here in Oklahoma City, and we had meetings that were had so many people in them, we had to break up into lots of small groups just to read and share. And I jumped in. I had 9 years in OA back then in the 80s, and I grew up quite a bit. When I look back, I see that when I picked up the eating at 13, some of my normal adolescent developing was stunted. And when I put down the bulimia and I showed up in OA, I was 26 years old, but I was about as mature as a 13-year-old, and I was trying to maneuver in a grown woman's life. And if I hadn't had the program and the structure of, you know, daily meditation and writing and going to meetings and all the things that were going on around me that I just jumped into the flow of, I don't think I would have made it through what I was doing at the time, which was like a graduate level studying and responsibilities, and it caused me to grow up. So when I was 30, I was about as mature as a 17-year-old, somewhat. Anyway, I was thinking if I have 15 minutes to talk, I wanted to talk about the phases of OA that I see that I went through. You know, when I was very desperate, when I showed up in 1982, when I showed up and I had put the bulimia down and I was binging all day and gaining weight, I was absolutely desperate. And I jumped in and I did what they told me. I knew that what I had been doing and what my past was awful, and I did not want to keep doing that. And I knew that was not an option. And I did what they said, and I got a lot of relief from my disease, and I got a lot of growth. And one of the things that happened is that I came to accept myself, and I wasn't a perfectionist about my body, and that can be a problem sometimes because what happened is I got to where I was okay with being overweight, maybe 40 pounds overweight. I wouldn't call it fat serenity, but one of the things I've noticed in the last 30 years in my time in the program is that being overweight and being fat was not the stick that it had been for me in the beginning. It wasn't the thing that pushed me, because I didn't care as much. My self-esteem wasn't dependent upon whether I fit in a size this or size that, or what other people thought about me. That was mainly, I would say, the growth I had was that. So during the last 25 years, the thing that I have been focusing on is the carrots, the things that that are my goals. I was out of OA in the 90s. I was out of OA for 11 years, and I made tons of bad decisions. Made decisions about marriage, about buying a house, about career, about child rearing. I made lots of decisions that I knew weren't the best. And I remember saying to myself, I need to get back into OA. I was making much better decisions when I was using the steps and praying and meditating every day. I will look into that. I'll look into that next week. And I did that for a lot of years. But the thing that got me back in the rooms was the food, was the fact that I got to the point in my diseased thinking or whatever that I wanted to, get five or six to-go orders from the hospital cafeteria and go find some place in the hospital secret that I could stuff all that food in. That was me having slid back to the very beginning, and that got me back in the rooms. That got me back into meetings. So I needed that stick. I needed that awful thing that would happen if I didn't go forward in the program. And so I spent a lot of time in the, from 2001 when I came back until I got abstinent this time, which was 2018, kind of thinking about those things, what, and I realized that one, my disease got worse, and that will happen. And two, I realized that nobody is going to come to my front door and knock on it and tell me they want me to go to a meeting or they want me to be this or that or happier. The world is going to let me be as miserable as I can tolerate. And I needed to step up to the plate for me. So the thing I wanted to talk about was the growth that I've had in, say, the past 5 or 6 years of realizing that I have to be the author of my life and I have to take responsibility for creating a life. And now I'm retired and I'm almost 70, and there's all sorts of issues around that. And it just, once again, nobody's going to come to the door and make me do something. I'm going to have to do it for myself. And I'm honing down, I'm trying to think of what this message would be. I'm honing down to the fact that if I want to keep going forward and I want to keep having freedom from food and freedom from the disease and freedom from that little Pac-Man mouth that's munching in the back of my head going, what can I have? What can I have? And that gets turned on in me by the things I think or say, not so much the things I eat, although it could be. It has become simple for me, which is there's a line in the OA 12 and 12 in step one that says destruction or denial of the truth leads to destruction. And it was in the first edition, but I never noticed it. But when a few years ago, I was reading the OA 12 and 12, and I saw that, and I thought, that is my motto. Because when I am not in acceptance of what my disease is and what my brain, how my brain functions, I don't hate to use the word disease because it is a disease, but sometimes that seems like a exaggeration. But I have a condition in my head or the patterns that have been laid down by all those years of bulimia that when I pick up an extra bite, even at a meal, something that I've got on my plate, but if I reach over and grab an extra bite, something is turned on in my head that says, oh, I can have some more. I can have some more. I can have some more. And that is beginning of me not having a healthy boundary with the food. And so if I deny that, if I deny that truth about the way my brain functions, then I'm going to constantly get caught. So I've honed it down to I only have two options in this life. I can get abstinent or be abstinent or stay abstinent and do everything that I can to keep being honest with myself, using what's available, the steps, the tools, meetings, other people, my higher power for sure, and have freedom from the from the grips of this compulsion, or I can pick up food and be miserable. And there's no third option. There's no third idea. And it took me a lot of years to own that or to accept that. There's not a third option where I can sort of use food and feel okay. I can't just use a little and be okay, because that will quickly turn me, I will quickly be in the place where I'm out of control and unhappy and miserable with the food. And it always turns out that I had stopped asking for help, or I had stopped asking for my higher power's guidance for the day, or I had stopped acknowledging that there is a power that can help me and fix this if I ask. And so that, for me, the denial of the truth leads to destruction, is a succinct way for me to remember that if I forget what happens when I pick up those extra bites, then I will be caught by something. And my MO, and I hope I don't have another relapse. My last big relapse was in 2008, and it was brought on by me being on a really nice food plan but not having any kind of spiritual practice. And so I lost weight. I weighed less than I weigh now, and I lasted about 30 hours, 60 hours, maybe 4 days. Something happened, some old boyfriend's gonna do this. I heard some, next thing I knew, I'm not abstinent. And I couldn't stop. I gained 30 pounds in 3 months. That's the thing I've done several times, and once when I put down the bulimia, once in 2008, and one other time somewhere in the middle there, I lost it, just started cramming food in, gained 30 pounds in 3 months before I was able to stop it. And this last time in 2008, I said to myself, the solution is not to get back on that food plan. The solution is not to control the food. The solution is a spiritual solution, and that's what I need to seek. And I did, but it still took me 10 years to be able to get willing enough to ask somebody to be my sponsor that I perceived was ahead of me and had something, because I was scared. But I got a sponsor. I did what she said, and I put down sugar. And I think that sugar had been an issue all those years, but it hadn't been a big enough issue for me to see it. In the 80s, I could eat a dessert at a meal and it didn't seem to be a problem. And I just thought that it would be that way when I got back to OA in 2001, and it wasn't. The fact is, if I eat, well, I don't eat sugar now. If I taste something that tastes sweet, I spit it out and wash my mouth out, because it's unpleasant. It's an unpleasant sensation to have a sweet taste in my mouth now. But prior to that, prior to this abstinence, I could eat a dessert at a planned meal and be fine, but guaranteed in 36 hours, I'm grazing and I can't stop myself. And I did not want that to be the truth. But when I got the sponsor, when I got serious about wanting the good things in the program and not just trying to lose some weight, I saw that when I don't eat sugar, I have a healthier relationship with all the other food. And in fact, they taste better. And I'm also had let go of some other things. I had to let go of coffee because I was 8 shots of espresso a day. 2016, I had to stop because I couldn't stop myself. A 4-shot latte to get going and a 4-shot latte for the afternoon, and I couldn't control that. So eventually I got willing to let go of the coffee, sugar, coffee, and meat. I gave up meat, or I didn't give up meat because of the program. I gave up meat for spiritual reasons about 15 years ago. And that's not a thing that has to do with OA, because I know many people who eat basically only meat and they're very abstinent and they've lost a lot of weight and they're working great programs and that's what they need to do for them. So that's not a pitch in the program. It's just those are the three things that at some point I don't have. And it's not difficult, because I know what will happen if I pick them up, at least for sure the sugar. And I think probably the coffee, although it doesn't even smell good to me anymore. I think, I guess the thing I was wanted to talk about, or the point I wanted to make, was that this is a difficult program for people to do for their whole lives. I think a lot of people come into OA, and I'm one of them, that just thought, I just need to lose weight, get a hold of the food, get control of that, get the weight off, and then I'll be fine. And the way I look at it now is that, like an iceberg, the food and the weight, the body image, that's like the part you can see on the surface of the ocean, and the big part underneath is all the feelings, all the bad patterns, the immature patterns, and just normal feelings. But if I pick up food, then I don't have normal feelings anymore. I've got that whole food thing going on. And since we have to eat, I have to pick up food. I have to be very, very honest with myself about what's going on. One of the things I like to say about the program is I'm very grateful that I'm in the program, and I'm very grateful that I have the steps and that I've been using the program for the better part of my life. And of all the programs that somebody could have to use, I'm glad that mine is Overeaters Anonymous because I get to eat. Because that's the only one. I mean, you can't go to OA. I mean, you can't go to AA and then be able to enjoy alcohol in a healthy way. And you can't go to Gamblers and, be able to gamble just a little bit, And so I get to enjoy food in a healthy way if I'm working the steps. And this other thing that I want to say about that is, it's a boon, but sometimes it's a bitch. And that is that I have a barometer throughout the day that tells me how honest I am being with myself about my feelings, because food will let me know, if I'm eating what's on my plate way, way too fast, even if it's an abstinent meal, that tells me that I'm not being present, I'm not being focused, I'm probably not being honest with myself about some feeling. I have a barometer throughout the day, because I have to pick up food, that tells me how honest I'm being with myself and thus with my higher power. So that can be a wonderful thing, but it can be something that gets tiring. And one of the things I've said to myself, and I've heard other people say, is I'm so tired of thinking about food. I'm so tired about having to plan my meals. And I'm so tired of having to do all these things. And I do feel that way sometimes. But the fact is that whether I'm abstinent or not, or in the program or not, I am going to be thinking about food all the time. That's the way my brain is. And so I would rather be thinking, I don't think about food all the time, but having to prepare, having to plan, having to know what's in the fridge, or having to think about when the meeting is and if I'm going to eat before the meeting or after the meeting or whatever. I have to be conscious of the meals in the day and what I've had and those kind of things. But I don't have an option of not thinking about food, because if I don't think about food in a program way, in a healthy way, I will be thinking about it and be miserable. I will be miserable and I'll be face down in the food. And so my options are that, to be face down in the food and miserable and dickering around with it and kind of maneuvering and thinking, all that, or I can be free of it. As long as I'm conscious of the fact that I have to have a planned meal. Like, I know I have one more meal left today. I've already had lunch. It's 2:30 here. And so, I don't, it actually is freeing to know that, because instead of thinking every minute, can I eat? Do I need what I want to, do I want to eat? Is there something I could eat? It's like, it's not mealtime. Those thoughts go down. It's not an option. So having a food plan or a plan or a commitment to eating three meals a day is freeing for me. But that's not going to go away. And so I like to look at it that way, with put the positive spin on it, is that yes, I may have to think about food and plan food more than somebody who doesn't have this addiction, but at least I get to be not miserable and be happy, and food is in its proper place, and I can go hours without having any thoughts about it between meals, because I'm working the program. So I don't have the option of being a whatever a normal eater is. Like, I don't have to have a program to decide when I go to the bathroom or when I drink a glass of water. When I need to, I do it. But when it comes to eating, that's not the way I am. And it's freeing to have surrendered to that fact and to have accepted that fact. So I don't know if that made any sense. I felt like I was kind of jumbling, but I would say that my topic, or my thought to throw out there, is that line, denial of the truth leads to destruction. It seems rather harsh, but being in the disease is horrible. Being caught in it is miserable. And I don't ever want to forget that. Even though it may have been years since I felt that, I need to remember that, because when new people come in, I need to talk about it so they know that I know what they're going through. And they will then want to hear the things that worked for me and other people that they might want to try. So thank you.